the $1 trillion insurance policy for the world's banks. I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update. Big global banks should pull together more than $1 trillion to avoid the need for future government bailouts. This proposed remedy for the problem of too big to fail is coming today from the Financial Stability Board. This is an outfit created after the 2008 financial meltdown. The board advises the Group of 20 Club of Rich Countries. The BBC's economics correspondent Andrew Walker has been looking at recommendations for when things go horribly awry.
It's a concept called Total Loss Absorbing Capacity, TLAC, one of many ghastly acronyms I'm afraid we're having to deal with in the aftermath of the financial crisis. And it's a mixture of shares, equity, and debt. And those would basically lose all their value before any of the bank's other creditors had to lose any money. And it would also mean there was more capacity on the part of the banks to deal with a crisis so that the bank's essential functions could continue without the need for bailouts.
Policymakers don't want bailouts for many, many reasons. But even the regulators here seem to acknowledge that requiring these resources set aside in this way could be a drag on growth just a little bit.
That's certainly a possibility because it is more expensive for banks to raise this kind of money. If you're selling and borrowing money and you're saying there is an outside possibility that if we get into terrible trouble, this will be converted into shares, which won't be worth very much, then of course the bank will be paying more interest to compensate investors for that additional risk. In a sense, the risk is there in a different way. It's just that it was essentially paid for by taxpayers.
The BBC's Andrew Walker in London. Thank you.
My pleasure, David.
Take 24 readings on the American jobs market and wrap them into one, and what you get is the Labor Market Conditions Index. The latest version is due in just a few minutes. Many market participants are very focused on this today.
The reason it's important is it's important to Janet Yellen. You remember, she's a PhD from Yale, major labor economics, and she watches everything having to do with the labor market.
Quincy Crosby is market strategist at Prudential Financial.
This number has been soft. Actually, it was zero the last read. And so what we are expecting is that it rises a bit in conjunction with that strong report we had on Friday. It's not official, but given that everyone now has become a labor economist, the entire market will pay attention to it, particularly the Treasury market.
Indeed, the 2-year Treasury yield is up, and the benchmark 10-year Treasury yield is up, up, up to 2.36%. Pharmacies that offer customized blends of medicines are big business. The Wall Street Journal today is reporting that prosecutors may be close to settlements with what are called compounding pharmacies amid reports of widespread fraud with medicines for TRICARE. That's the health program used by the U.S. military and their families. Among the allegations, pharmacies may have paid doctors to prescribe their medicines. The paper says settlements might come as soon as this week. Exercise is good to get young people moving. There's a nonprofit called Marathon Kids that started in Texas 2 decades ago. It's now partnering with Nike to spread internationally. Marketplace's Andy Euler has more on these tangos between nonprofits and for-profits.
The Marathon Kids office in Austin feels like a small local nonprofit, not one that just inked a partnership deal with Nike.
Especially in these offices.
When I heard Nike was teaming up with a nonprofit to get 4- and 5-year-olds to start running, it seemed pretty simple. Nike wants to get its brand out to kids as early as possible. For the nonprofit, now you're working with Nike-sized resources. Susan McPherson says it's not that simple. She's a corporate social responsibility consultant.
Partnerships are so complicated and take so much effort that if they weren't in it, because if they didn't care, they wouldn't do this. There are a hell of a lot of other things Nike could be throwing their monies around.
Nike's not giving these kids shoes. That's not Marathon Kids' mission. It goes into communities and schools and sets up running clubs. It leaves running it to them. Nike is taking Marathon Kids and turning it into a story, essentially through a good-looking flyer. Christine Pillai is executive director of Marathon Kids.
Why wouldn't we allow people that do this for a living, basically market and brand product and sell it, do that for us?
For Nike, they make a play on the youth running market and muster some corporate goodwill. But it's still Nike's time and money. Caitlin Morris is with Nike's Global Impact team. She says the Marathon Kids model is close.
They just need the tools and a little bit of coaching to make it happen. And so we have a lot of respect for sort of the thoughtfulness they've put into the approach.
Morris says Marathon Kids is acting a lot like a business, using data to build expansion models. Scalability is what they call it. But Morris recognizes that I wasn't alone in asking about Nike's motivation.
Will there be some cynicism? Sure.
Susan McPherson says it's fine to be skeptical of brands teaming up with nonprofits. But if a company like Nike does it, it's not on a whim.
Somebody did due diligence to find out that this was a viable nonprofit that was doing good work.
Because if it wasn't doing good work and Nike attached its brand, they'd be the first ones to be called out. I'm Andy Euler for Marketplace.
And it'll be a little like living with someone out of wedlock. There's news this morning that Cisco Systems, the data networking equipment maker, and Ericsson, the Swedish telecommunications firm, are forging an ornate partnership. Technology will be shared, commercial ventures interwoven, but this is not an outright merger. In fact, there's not even an engagement ring. What will grandmother think? In New Jersey, at the studios of Montclair State University today, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.